I hope you enjoyed the weather. Seriously, I found out real quick that my two dogs are quite different. One's a dingo. I don't know. It's red, furred, doesn't bark much except for like birds and wind. But it decided when the rain hit, it said, you know, I'm good. And it walked inside the little dog house. And the Labrador was not quite so ready to give up on the wind and the rain. It began walking around, running around, nipping at raindrops and yelling at the wind. And it wasn't until that first piece of hail flunked it in the middle of the head, it realized, nope, not enjoying this at all. So it quickly jumped over the other one into the back of the doghouse, and that's where they stayed the entire night until that wind calmed down. So he was happy and enjoying life until that ice started falling from the skies. Go ahead and turn to James chapter number 4. James chapter 4. When you find it, let's stand. James chapter 4. Verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for how wonderful you are. Lord, help us to put aside the worries of the week past and week to come and focus in, Lord, in this moment, this time with you. Help us, God, to be open for what you'd have us to hear. We ask in your name, amen. Be seated. Quite candidly, we know that lust is one of the worst sins known to man. I would say pride is the first. We know Lucifer and his pride fell. I say pride is probably the first and the one that God definitely despises. But then I look at man and man's trend of sins. And so often, so many times, our sins are connected to our lusts. So often we find that the core of the evil we see, the core of the horrendous acts, the core of the horrible happenings is someone who is discontent and lustful. We find so often in humankind that a man will do almost anything to take care of himself. They know this. We know this. They commercialize it. What would you do for a Klondike bar? I know. I had a Klondike yesterday. It was delicious. But even they get it. It's not like it's this great hidden secret. I was like, we don't talk about lust. No, no, no. They capitalize on it. Oh, you're not content unless you have this. Oh, you're really not happy till you're wearing this, till you're driving that. In fact, you may think you are. You know, they say a happy, content man is one with no internet, no phone, no magazines, and no human contact. Give them a dog and give them a piece of land and a hunting rifle, and they're happy. It's when you involve other things in life. You didn't know how discontent you were till you picked up the catalog. Sorry, younger kids. Until you looked at the advertisements. How about that? We used to give them out of books. or the paper. That's the only way you get them. Anyway, nowadays you just have them sent to your brain or whatever. It's crazy. But a man didn't realize how discontent he was until another man figured out all he has to do is tell them. You know what you really want right now? You want a hamburger. You want a hot dog. You want Brother David to stop preaching so you can get out and get some supper. You know what you really want? Anything besides where you currently are. Because lust is diametrically opposed to God. Lust is the enemy of God, because you can't have what you want and do what God wants. Pride pushes God away, saying, I'm what I need. I am sufficient. Lust says, yeah, but you need more. And pride and lust tag team, and they make people go from happy, content creatures to sad, miserable, hungry individuals. You know, the fact of the matter is, the question starts out in chapter 4 saying, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Where do they come from? Why do we have wars? Why do we have people being angry? Why do we have lust, discontentment, dissatisfied? Oh, but you see, brother, lust is only sexual. Not so. Lust is a very diverse sin. It may find its root in sexuality, but lust itself is simply the desire, the overwhelming desire for more. I have to have more. The collector puts another piece of whatever he collects on his shelf and says, just one more. Let's get a little personal. If it's a 2-for-1 special on ammo, we're saving money, right? Just one more. One more what? One more this and I'll be happy. One more that and I'll be happy. 10 chicken nuggets isn't enough. We need 12. One more and I'll be happy. And then a man in his private time, one more time, I'll be done. Just once more and I'll change. I'm so close. I just need one more of whatever it is. And then I'll move on. A man will lose his life in the pursuit of just one more. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? See, lust is just a battle currently happening inside of every individual waiting to involve others. Lust is simply a bottomless pit of cravings waiting to be fulfilled or to be teased, waiting to have some semblance of fulfillment. Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Wait. Ye ask not? That was an option? We just went through wars and fightings and killings. And it simply says, ye have not because ye ask not. Well, wish I would have known that before I did the other stuff. Problem is, verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. Let's be real here. There are so many times in our lives, young, middle-aged, old, doesn't matter. There are so many times in our life we are so filled and so consumed by our current emotional state or our current state of lust that we know the only way to fulfill that lust is an anti-God way. Well, does God provide a fulfillment for lust? Yes, it's called denial. It's called contentment. It's called the Holy Spirit. But we don't ask because we know we're not going to get it. We don't ask and we don't receive, so instead we go our own way about it. We're not willing to ask because we're not willing to be in the right spirit to receive. because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Even those who ask, God denies their request because they just want it for their own pleasure. We just went from the ones that can claim that, oh, that's horrible. That's not great. That's, you know, killing and murdering, that's horrible. To the fact of the matter is that we oftentimes ask for things from God simply because we want it. We don't need it. We want to consume it upon our own lusts. More on that. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Whoa. We're talking about who here? Oh, Christians. Us. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? What does the word enmity mean? We know it's bad. What does it mean? Warfare. Nice. It means against. I know, right? Against. Enmity with God. It means determined or to be opposed to. Don't you know that a friendship with the world is it takes you and opposes you to God? There is no middle ground. So often we see Christians, children of God, who are governed by their lust. We see them fulfilling their lust whenever they have a chance to, but then they're like, oh, wait, I can't do that. I need to be with God. Where'd he go? Where is he at? Why is God not here? Lord, I need you. Why are you not here? But a friendship with the world is a enemy, or is enmity with God. It is against God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So let's break that down real quick. Lust is the most, I'll concede, the second worst sin. I think pride is the worst, but lust is right behind it. Why? It destroys marriages. It destroys lives. It controls whole countries. It devours political righteousness, if there's such a thing ever existed. It dominates the lifestyle of the wealthy. It dominates the lifestyle of the needy. It dominates the lifestyle of the Christian. So many Christians don't have the power of God in their lives because they're so filled with the hunt for satisfaction. How bad does it get? They're literally hunting for God to fulfill their satisfactional needs. Well, I'm a happier person if I do this. I'm going to do this. It's not about happiness. Well, I feel better if I do this. Not about feeling. Well, what is it all about then? It's about righteousness and holiness. Well, how do you get that? You die to yourself. That's not fun. Exactly. I can't find a way, a young woman said as she walked into her mother's bedroom. She said, I can't find a way to be happy and holy the same time. To which her mother replied, those don't exist together. You can be holy and joyful, but you can't be happy, because happiness is a byproduct of things or stuffs, whereas holiness is a commitment to God and his ways. I want to be happy and holy. They don't coexist. So often we try to seek God in our own manner, our own fashion, but we do it in a way that still allows us to have our little secrets, still allows us to have our little lustful sides. Okay, church is done. Time to go home, and man, I really need this or want this. And needs and wants aren't a bad thing. It's when we put them first. It's when we let them consume us. Well, you see, I just feed lust every now and then. It's not that bad. It's not that big. Problem is, it's a friendship with the world that puts you at enmity with God. Verse 5 says, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" Do you think it says that in vain? God's just like, hey, you know, just in case you're wondering, put this in there in case you want to look at it. No, he's saying, do you understand that your pursuit of your own personal happiness, your pursuit to fulfill your lust, your little pet sin that you hide away, because no one talks about it at church. No one's like, hi, my name is Brother So-and-so. I have a lust problem. If you couldn't tell, that's who I am. But you know, I'm going to put that aside real quick because I gotta be in church tonight. So I'm going to put that aside and make sure I'm holy and righteous and cleansed. And I'll get back to my lust as I leave the building. No one talks about it. No one talks about the fact that church is a break versus a lifestyle. No one talks about Christianity as a actionable moment versus a lifestyle. We talk about, oh, I have to go to church today, or I got to be a Christian here, or I got to do this, gotta that. That's not how it works. Christianity is a lifestyle, not an action. Do you think it says in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? No, it doesn't. Candidly, everyone in this room struggles with lust. Different forms, different triggers, different feeds, different whatever. And the truthful fact of it is, it's so easy to fall into and so harmless for a time. Well, it's just a small thing. It's just this or just that. It's not that big of a deal. I forget who said it, but they said, when you begin making excuses for your sin, it's a bigger deal than what you're willing to admit. I'll say it again. When you begin making excuses for your sin, it's a bigger deal than what you're willing to admit. Well, I don't do it that often, but you do it. I don't really, you know, indulge much, but you indulge. It's really a small thing. Is it? Granted, no one's perfect. But that's what makes us more important, is that we make excuses for our flaws. We make excuses. It's just a little lust. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not of your own lusts? Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity, at odds with God? And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Well, what do we do? Great. We're sinful creatures. If you're willing to admit that, don't say amen. But we're sinful creatures. We have problems, okay? We got problems. We have pride. We have arrogancy. We have envy. We lust. We cause all kinds of things. We fight the flesh. We fight the spirit with the flesh. We give over. We're just going to fail every day. That's depressive. Yes, it is. The Scripture saith, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. So you're telling me not only is this horrible thing that causes wars, causes fightings, causes murders, not only this horrible thing that consumes and destroys, is it with me, but I can't get rid of it? Well, what do I do? But he giveth more grace. I'm really glad that scripture's right there. Because I don't know about you, but I know in my life I struggle with sin. I haven't figured out how to be perfect yet. I haven't tried the monthly subscriptions. I'm sure they're affordable. But I haven't figured out how to be perfect yet. And I don't think I ever will. But he giveth more grace. Something that's hard to imagine is that word more. semantical quiz. What is that word more in the context looking toward? What is that word more connected with? More grace. Well, how do you know when you have more grace? The word more in this context is applied to lust. The fight against lust. The fight for purity. The fight to avoid being consumed. It's saying here that where sin doth abound, grace doth even more abound. He giveth more grace. Lord, I feel consumed by my lust. I feel controlled by my lust. Lord, I can't quit. I can't stop. I need more grace. You know what? He giveth more grace. The fight against lust is one that will never end. You will have your victories, you'll have your losses, you'll have your stalemates. But the fact of the matter is, the child of God looking to serve God has access to more grace as they fight and continue to resist their own sin nature. They have more grace. Wherefore it says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble, or the humble. That word resisteth the proud. Josiah, do you mind? That word resisteth. I didn't know what that meant for a longest time. I thought maybe he just like, you know, walked away from them, avoided them. But then I had to think about it. God is everywhere, which means he's somewhere, which means we're somewhere, which means he's stationary, and we never have God leaving us, we leave him. So if he's a stationary one, walk toward me, God resisteth the proud. Keep trying. He resisteth the proud. They can try as they might, sorry, your collarbone. They can try as they might, but you can try as hard as you want to. They're not going to be able to get close to God because of God. God's holding them back. No. He resists them. Why does God resist the pride in man? God is a holy, righteous God. Sin cannot be around him. So it's not that he physically pushes us away out of hate. It's that he holds us at bay with his righteousness. We can't get close to him. We can't get near him because of what's inside of us. Well, God's resisting me. What are you carrying? The Lord just, he's not answering my prayers. What are you carrying? You're good. He resisteth the prideful, the proud. What do the proud say? I'm good enough. It takes a lot of pride to say that. I'm good enough. It takes a lot of pride to think, I'm good enough. You ever bought a car that was good enough? You ever had food that was good enough? Cold pizza's good enough. Man, it's much better warmed up. We say, Lord, I am coming before you, waiting to be blessed. I am good enough. How does that apply to lust? The child of God that has the audacity and the pride to say, I'm good enough, is the child of God that says, I'm good enough to be in your presence, but I still want to live my life my way in the lust-fulfilling manner I have set forth. But Lord, I am good enough. Their pride is what holds them back from God, and he will resist them. And they will not get into his presence. Well, God is just so mean. No, he's righteous. He's just. He's just holy. But give us grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Flip side, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. For the longest time, I had the idea that we do battle with the devil. I can tell you, none of us have done battle with the devil. Maybe a lower tier minion, maybe just some little demon or such, but none of us has faced the devil. His power would be quite impressive. The word resist the devil simply means turn him down. That word resist simply means deny. Simply means reject. Reject the devil and he will flee from you. See, the devil's a really good salesman. Really good salesman. You ever been to the mall or someplace that has salespeople? And they always put them in that little middle aisle. I hate it. Because you're just on your way to buy a pair of shoes. And they're like, hey, would you care to smell this? I'm like, I guess I'm going to have to now. What is that? However, my distaste for salesmen goes far beyond mall people's. They come to my door. I don't care if they're selling home security. I don't care if they have a brand new car, vacuum, block of knives. I don't care. I don't want to talk to them. This is my house. Get off my porch. You're on the internet. I'll find you. Leave me a card if you feel that important. I'm good. I don't want to be sold anything. However, in the Penn Square Mall in Oklahoma City, there is a truck. It's a small little Volkswagen Convert. Convertible. It's a van. It's customized. They cut the back end off, give a little top to it. It sells beef jerky. The little sales guy will walk around with pieces of beef jerky, and he'll say, you want to try some? And I've bought about 10 bags in my lifetime from him. And I hate being sold something, but I will listen to him talk all day about the different kinds of beef jerky, their flavors, and I will buy from him regardless of whether I really should or not, because I just enjoy hearing him talk. I hope to see him this Saturday, but I don't like being sold stuff. But somehow, this jerky salesman has found an in with me. And someone who has been able to turn away countless half-price offers, buy one, get five free, as seen on TV, brand new roof by this Saturday. The guy says, you want jerky? I'm like, yes. Needless to say, a jerky salesman is all it takes for me to make irresponsible decisions with my money. Because they're like $10 a bag. So it's not cheap either. The devil has your number. I don't dabble in sin. Do you dabble in lying? Because that's pretty good. I don't do that. Wow, okay. Must be nice to be perfect. I'm not. That word resist the devil just means, no, I'm good. I'm good. I don't want what you're selling. It's not this epic battle of, go away! Yeah, good luck with that one. That's like a chihuahua barking. Sorry, Amanda. Resist the devil. I'm good. I don't want what you're pushing. I don't want what you're selling. And he will flee from you. Why? He can't make you do anything. Whether you want to admit it or not, you have never been made to buy a burger. You've never been made to buy the newest whatever. You've never been forced to buy something. If you have, I would love to hear your story. That would be fantastic. But even with puppy dog eyes, puppy dog tears, and starving kids, you've never been forced to do anything you didn't decide to do. The devil can't make you sin, but he advertises all the time what he offers. His advertisements are everywhere. I despise Carl's Jr.'s, the company in general. The burgers specifically, I just don't like Charbroil burgers. I lived down the street from one in Oklahoma City for 4 years. Once three in college, there was one down the block, and then by my house and apartment, one down there too. And I never ever ate there, because I decided I'm good. I had one that was given to me years ago. I decided I'm fine. Not going. All 4 years. It wasn't until I got down here and I was like, there's a Carl's Jr. in Midland. I've seen advertisements for 4 years. Maybe I should try one out. And you know what? It was as bad as I remember. But no one was forcing me to buy a Carl's Jr. burger that I just didn't like at all. But the advertisements had worked. It took 4 years. I mean, it's pretty impressive. But I was like, man, what if they're good? And it's that question of, what if they're good? Well, they're not. But what if they're good? Well, they're not. But what if they're good? Sin does that. The devil advertises. But what if it's what you want? But what if it's going to make you happy? But what if it works? We know how evil sin is. But we dabble in it with the hope of what if. And we fall for the advertisements and we say, you know what, devil, what you're selling's bad, but what if it works? I'll take one. Before you know it, your lust has consumed you. And you've fallen for an advertisement of sin. Verse 8 we know is, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded, or ye doubly drawn. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And we know all that. We know the process. I'm not denying anyone here is ignorant of the process of redemption or the process of purification. No one here is ignorant of the process of which God redeems us. So often we put that in the back of our mind and we dwell with the question of, what if this is going to be enough? What if this next sin will fulfill my lust? I got to have it. I need it. I try to avoid marketplaces like online, like Craigslist or whatever, because there's always something I'm like, man, it's kind of cool. I try to avoid eBay. Unless I'm like searching for something, I'll find a popcorn machine and be like, I could use a popcorn machine, a snow cone machine. Before you know it, I have all kinds of stuff. I have 8 ways to make coffee in my house, and I use one of them. Now, granted, most of them were gifts, but still, makes you wonder. And I try to avoid them because I'll find something I'm like, I can use that. Like a one-use thing. Oh, that we were given. Oh, this is live streamed. Sorry if you know who I am. We were given for our wedding an avocado peeler. It was a $12 hand tool for peeling avocados. I was like, doesn't a knife do that? So we took it back and returned it for the money because it was our wedding gift. We did what we wanted to do with it. It's $12, man. That was like half our rent in Oklahoma City. We took it back because I was like, I don't need a one-time, one-use thing. That's weird. I peel my own avocados. That kind of stuff, the one-time use stuff, we find if we look at it long enough, we're like, maybe I need a pergola in my backyard. Maybe I need this. Maybe I need that. Maybe if I just put this thing here on the wall, I'd be happy. We find ourselves marketplace or online perusing. And I find when I get in that mode of like, you know, man, I got this great idea, Bethany. What we're going to do is we're going to take this wall. We're going to knock it out. I'm looking at like a home improvement site. We're going to put a little closet in here, double doors, but like a garage door style thing. So you open up and outside is beautiful for spring mornings. And she goes, what spring mornings? And I was like, yeah, you got a point there. I was like, well, what if we tore out this wall in the bedroom and we put a concrete slab out here and we extended the house out with a whole new room? And I think she said some of the wisest words I've ever heard from her. Give it a day. You know, the next day we paid bills, and I was like, you know what we don't need? Another room in our house. Or, you know, we don't need that. We're good. And there's times she gets in that mode, and I say, hey, give it a day. There's times you just have to give it a day. There's a song that we sing that it talks about, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Temptation's everywhere. The advertisements are everywhere. It's not about avoiding the advertisements. You can try your best, but he has advertisements everywhere. It's about yielding and giving in and saying, what if this is what I need? Well, it's just a little lust. From whence come wars and fightings among you? The same lust that makes you buy your 12th cross for your wall. Yeah, I know I'm stepping on toes now. The same lust that makes you buy your new coasters for the other table you have in your house that you bought because you want another table. That's the beginning of what lust can be. That's the infant stage of how consuming lust is. Gotta say it because it's true. But the same lust that we detest in those that we see on the news is the lust we privately feed for our own enjoyment. It's not a menace yet. Yet. But the point tonight, and I gotta drive home, I gotta close after this. In your battle with lust, in your weary struggle with sin, understand that he giveth more grace. Man, I can't. I'm fixing to give in. I need more grace. Well, he giveth more grace. And God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace. To the humble. Therefore, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You want to avoid lust? You want to avoid fulfilling and destroying your own self? Humble yourselves. Say, Lord, I have a problem, and I need your help. I can't fix it. So often we get in trouble trying to fix our own selves. Oh, I'll just, man, I did this. I'll fix it, God. There's a period in my time as a Chick-fil-A manager where I would fix things. I'd make mistakes. It happens. I'd be like, hey, I'll fix it. And one day my boss said, let me help you. And I was like, no, because if you help me, I didn't do it. He goes, that's the point of why I'm here, is to help you. We look at God as someone we don't want near our sin. So we hide our sin from him, as Adam and Eve hid themselves. We hide our sin away, and we say, let me take care of this mess, God. I'm sorry. And God goes, you can't. My grace is what you need. My forgiveness is what you need. You can't fix it yourselves. The pride tell themselves they can handle it. The prideful tell themselves they're enough. They're good enough. But to avoid lust takes submitting to a higher God and drawing on his power. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts. Be afflicted, mourn. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. But humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Sin is abundant around us. It's in our lives. It's in our families. It'll destroy us. But he giveth more grace. We don't need a 12-step program. We don't need the next book. We don't need another women's studies and happiness. We don't need another masculine method for manliness. What we need is more grace. And it only comes from a righteous and holy God. Well, I keep trying to go to him, but he just keeps resisting me. Well, what are you carrying? He resisteth the proud, giveth grace, of which we need, to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're struggling with. I know me. I'm a mess. But I know who can solve our problems his way. I know who can comfort us his way. I know who can cleanse us his way. And I know who giveth more grace for the time that you need. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless this day. Bless this evening. God help.